with Richard and Carol before. I had no idea what their story was going to be. But actually this morning we're going to talk about our needs. I'm going to talk about being in a war. So actually you set it up perfectly whether you know it or not this morning. Someone who would know a thing or two about armies said, "An army marches on its stomach." Did anyone know who said that, by the way?
Napoleon.
I was going to say Napoleon, exactly. That's right. Napoleon Bonaparte knew a thing or two about armies. An army marches on its stomach. Now, you know that I'm a student of history. I love to read and study history. I'm not particularly a student of war and war strategy and all of that. But you also probably know that if you read history, you're basically reading the history of war. Because sadly, that's a big part of our global history, isn't it? The reality of war. So I know enough to know that wars are not actually won on the front lines. They're won on the supply lines. If you read anything about World War II, where they used aerial bombing most effectively and powerfully at any time in any war, they weren't trying to bomb the front lines, they were trying to bomb the supply lines, right? Break off the supplies, you starve the army, and then obviously you can defeat them. So an army truly does march on its stomach. Well, we may wonder, what does that have to do with you and me this morning? What does that have to do with us? Here in this quiet church, gentle and peaceful people, what does that have to do with you and me this morning? Well, you probably know that the church globally, this church, could be described, could be understood as an army of the Lord. If you read the Apostle Paul at all and his epistles, you know that he frequently used militaristic language to describe individual Christians and to describe us as a church. You know that he frequently referred to his fellow workers, his fellow believers, as fellow soldiers. You know that he referred to the weapons that we fight with in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And then you know that famously, that was demonstrated to us this morning in Ephesians 6, he refers to putting on the full armor of God so that we're ready to go out into the battle. He calls Timothy, he calls all believers to fight the good fight of the faith like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So we see it throughout the writings of Paul, throughout the New Testament, this concept that we are Christian soldiers. So you can understand that old hymn. Where did that old hymn come from? You remember the old hymn that said, "Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war"? That comes right from the writings of Paul. It doesn't come from the generation of war. It comes from Paul himself. We are in a spiritual battle. A battle against sin, a battle against evil, a battle against death. Now, two Sundays ago, on Easter Sunday, on Resurrection Sunday, we celebrated the fact that that war has already been won. The war against sin was won at the cross, as we'll come to remember the cross at the table. The war against death was won when Jesus stepped out of the tomb. So the war was won. But I don't have to tell you this morning that although the war has been won, there still are skirmishes going on. There still are battles that we are fighting. We're still fighting, as long as we're in this world, we're still fighting sin. We're still fighting evil. We're still fighting death. Now, the war has been won, and we rejoice in that, and we celebrate, but we have to remember, we're still in the battle. We are still in the battle, and that's why the Apostle Paul used that picture over and over again. We're in the battle to defeat sin, to defeat evil, to defeat the power of death among us, and to establish the righteous kingdom of God. We are a spiritual army in a spiritual battle. You know that Paul also said, in conjunction to that famous scripture in Ephesians 6, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." We are a spiritual army in a spiritual battle. So it only follows that we need what? Spiritual nutrition. We need spiritual supply. We need spiritual food if we're going to be victorious in the battle. When we cut ourselves off from that, we will be weak and easily defeated. An army marches on its stomach. An army must find sustenance, nutrition. An army must feed. And so this morning, we come to a supper. We come this morning to feed at this table. Now, physically, there's not much here, right? If this was your only physical meal today, you'd be pretty hungry in a couple of hours. We're coming to feed on spiritual food. We're coming to the Lord's table. This will strengthen us and encourage us as an army. Because when we eat of the Lord's Supper, we are communing with our commander. We are sitting down to eat with the general of the army. This is the Lord's Supper. Not my supper. Not your supper. Not the supper of Burnaby North Baptist Church. Not the supper of CBWC. But the supper of the Lord. The commander is here. And when we sit down by faith to this supper, we're sitting down with the commander. You know that in Ephesians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul had to correct and direct the believers in Corinth about the proper attitude as they came to the table. And among other things, he says to this to them rhetorically. So then, when you come together, is it not the Lord's Supper you eat? He's reminding them. This is the supper of the commander. This is the supper of the general. We sit down with him. We commune with him. Jesus, as I'm sure you know, instituted the Lord's Supper in what we know as the Last Supper. When he sat down with his disciples around the table, broke the bread and drank of the cup, he instituted what we are about to do this morning. And in doing so, Jesus said this. He said to his disciples, I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Now this confused the disciples. Remember we saw a couple of weeks ago that when Jesus spoke about the future, they were often confused. So he said, when I'm eating with you, I'll not eat with you again until we sit down in the kingdom. A couple weeks ago at Easter, we looked at Luke chapter 24, the passage in which Jesus makes his first presence among his disciples after his resurrection. And we saw how they were shocked and surprised. They thought they saw a ghost, you remember? And you remember that Jesus said, give me something to eat. He was doing that to prove that he was physically among them. They could actually believe that they were seeing him. But I wonder that when he said, let's eat, they remembered what he had said not too long before that. I'll eat again with you in the kingdom. When Jesus said, let's eat, he said, upon my resurrection, the kingdom is founded. The kingdom is established. We are now living by faith in the kingdom of God, although we wait certainly for its complete fulfillment. The kingdom of God was inaugurated when Jesus rose from the grave. And it was only when he broke bread with his disciples after his resurrection that the doubting and the confused disciples recognized it. When we come to the table this morning, we recognize the kingdom of God is here. We recognize that the king is here. We recognize that the general of the army, the commander of the army is here. And we sit down with him in that great dinner, in that great supper. We eat of the Lord's Supper. We commune with the commander. And when we eat the Lord's Supper, we are reminded of our mission and we receive our marching orders. Sometimes in the heat of battle, when the army is truly paying a great price, they lose sight of the mission. They lose sight of their marching orders. They begin to wonder, why are we doing this? Why are we paying this price? And so every so often, the troops have to get together and be reminded, this is what the mission is. This is what our marching orders is. This is why we are doing that. As we come to the Lord's table, we have the opportunity to be reminded of our mission and to refocus our energies on victory, not just survival. A battle that is won by the troops that focus not just on surviving the battle, but on winning the battle. When we come to the table, we refocus. We're reminded of our mission. Jesus states the mission, by the way, right in the institution in 1 Corinthians 11:26. When he says to the disciples, when he says to you and me this morning, proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We are to preach. We are to teach. We are to proclaim. We are to live out the world and life-changing truth of the resurrection of the living Savior, our Lord. That's our mission. Our mission is to proclaim, to bring glory to exalt, to lift up the living Christ, the living Savior. And our marching orders are clear. You may know that passage in Matthew 28, we often refer to it as the Great Commission. It is sort of the final words of Jesus before he ascends back to his Father physically. And in Matthew 28:18-20, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Go. Get into the battle. Jesus was telling his very first disciples, you can't stay behind the lines. You remember that when Jesus came to his disciples, they were hiding behind a locked door, weren't they? But when they realized he was alive, they realized they couldn't stay there any longer. They couldn't huddle in that safe place. They had to get out into the front lines of the battle. They had to get out into the fight. And the reason that we are Christians this morning is because Christians before us realize that. That we can't just hide away behind locked doors and in safe places. We've got to get out into the battle. Into the battle for victory, for the glory of Christ, and for the good and righteousness that he brings. When we come to the Lord's table this morning, it's an opportunity for us in the battle to focus again on our mission. We proclaim, we lift up our Savior, our God, our Father, and our Lord. And we receive again our marching orders to go, to be in the battle, and to live out the truth that we proclaim. When we come to the table, we rally the troops. The Lord's Supper plays an important role in maintaining and building the morale of the troops. Morale is so important, isn't it, in a war, in a battle. Because at the supper, among other things, we reconnect with each other. Sometimes in the heat of a battle, the troops can get scattered and isolated. Again, as I told you, I'm not much of a student of war, but if you're a student of history, you have to read about war. I've read up a fair amount about the Civil War. And one of the biggest challenges in winning a battle in the Civil War was that when they came under attack, they often scattered. And they broke into small little groups here and there. And they begin to lose their courage. When we come to the table, we reconnect with each other. Because this is the Lord's table, not just our table. Which means that we are connecting with every believer who's gone before, that great cloud of witnesses that the author Hebrews talks about. And we are connecting with every believer around the globe. Everyone who calls Jesus Christ their Savior, we're connecting with those people as we come to this table. We're reminded that we're not out on the battlefield alone, but we're fighting together in a great army that is united in the living Jesus Christ. We reconnect with each other. We refresh and encourage one another. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Romans, in Romans 15, verses 1 and 2, gave this advice, this direction to the believers. He said, we who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak to build them up. So when we come to the table, we lift each other up. If someone is weak, we encourage them. If someone is weak, we pray for them. If someone is weak, we point them to the body that was broken and the blood that was shed for their salvation, which led not to death, to victory in the resurrection. When we come to the table, we reconnect with each other, we refresh one another, and we recommit to the cause. When we come together as God's children, saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, we're reminded of who we are fighting for, and we recommit ourselves to the cause of glorifying God and serving each other and all others in His name. The Lord's Supper is an opportunity to recommit our lives, to recommit ourselves to the call, to recommit ourselves to the mission, to recommit ourselves to the battle for God and for good, the battle to glorify Him and to establish His kingdom. Let me ask you this morning, are you a soldier in the army of Christ? Are you a soldier in the army of Christ? Are you, by living out the gospel, battling evil and sin? Are you standing, we talked about this last week, about standing firm to establish right and good for God's glory? The world, the lost world, needs us to be in the battle. They need us to stand for right and good and justice and mercy. They need us to glorify our living God and our wonderful Savior. Are you a soldier in the battle? Are you a soldier in the battle? If you are, come and eat. Father, we thank You for this opportunity to gather around this table. A simple table with simple elements. And yet, Father, a powerful truth. That God died, that He resurrected, and that He lives. Father, as we come to the table, may we eat of You by faith. May we be refreshed. May we be refocused. May we be